This afternoon, we have heard quite a bit about the life of Alistair, some of the things that he loved, some of the antics that he got himself up to. And it would be impossible for us in such a short space of time, such as this, to adequately reflect the memories that we have of him. The interactions that we would have had would be different in the family, in the workplace, on the council, here in the church, and our relationships would be very different. At the church here, we knew Alistair as one that would attend our services on a Sunday morning. And he was one who had his principles, and he was one who stuck to his convictions. We could be under no illusion as to what he was thinking or what he thought about a particular issue. And for that reason, we will miss him. And our prayers, therefore, are for the family, that you would know the comfort of God at this particular time. In the last few months of Alistair's life, he had particularly poor health. Around the summertime, he had 3 heart attacks and spent some time in the Great Western Hospital in Swindon and then over at Oxford. After he got home, and that's another story as to how I got to see him, but after he got home, I went to see him and to talk to him. And during my visit, he made it very clear that the issues with his health, and particularly the heart attacks that he'd gone through, had caused him to think. He wanted to think and he wanted to discuss what arrangements he needed to make for when he died, where he was going to be buried, where the service would take place, and things like that. His mortality was brought into very sharp focus. And whether we like it or not, one day, this day will come for us as well. One day, people will be gathering for our funeral and to say goodbye and to share in some of the anecdotes of our life. We won't be able to avoid it. We will not be able to postpone it. We have, each one of us, that inevitable appointment with death. In the Bible, there is a king by the name of King Hezekiah. You can read about him in 2 Kings and chapter 20. And this king, he had a terminal illness. We're not told what it was, but he knew that his sickness was going to result in his death. And we find that God tells him in verse 1 these words, "Set thine house in order." In other words, death is coming, death is imminent, make ready, be prepared. And so for a few moments this afternoon, I want us to think about that little phrase, "Set thine house in order." In order. Alistair made some preparations. He had some thoughts for the things that we have here. And he started to set his house in order. There are 3 things I want us just to consider very briefly. The focus of death, the preparations for death, but then the victory over death. The focus of death. By and large, we don't talk about it. We don't wish to discuss death or death in general. It's very much a taboo subject, yet it's an unavoidable reality. However much we ignore, pretend it does not happen, hope that it will never come, it will come to every one of us. The Bible states very clearly that it's appointed unto men once to die. And we have gathered this afternoon because of the truth of that reality. We don't know what our circumstances of our death will be, when it will happen, but it will come. How do we respond? Well, many would say, well, just do what you like. Live life to the full. Don't worry about it until it comes. And this is how many. Perhaps this is how we will approach it. But there perhaps comes times when we are troubled. We may be concerned. It may be brought into focus through illness. It may occur watching a loved one. It may come through a crisis in our life or in the life of another one. But here in 2 Kings 20 in verse 1, God tells Hezekiah to set thine house in order. And so it's very important that we think about these matters. So what preparations can we make? Well, what preparations do we make for our final day? Well, we can think practically. We may make wills. We may secure our financial affairs. We might make the management of our estate when we're no longer here easier for those who are left behind. We may be burdened to put some right wrong, or some wrong right, rather. Repair relationships. Make some kind of restitution if wrong has occurred. We may, in setting our house in order, decide that we need to spend more time with family, friends, and loved ones. In preparing for our death, we may tick activities off of a bucket list. Go and visit a place. Go and experience something. And these are all the kinds of things that people might do when death is brought into their focus. But the difficulty that we have is that we do not know with certainty when that day will come. We may have a terminal diagnosis, and there can be some kind of ideas to how long we have left. But sometimes, perhaps more often than not, events come upon us very rapidly or even instantaneously. And so all these preparations may be good, they may be right. But there is one thing which is most needful. In fact, it is essential. What care, what consideration, what preparation do we make for our eternal soul? The very essence of who we are. The body is the shell, but our soul that leaves when we die. Do we consider the health and the eternal security of our souls? We may think about the assets that we have in life. We may think about all kinds of arrangements. What about your soul that never dies? You may say, well, why is this important? Well, I quoted that verse from Hebrews. It is appointed unto men once to die. But that verse continues and says this, and after this, the judgment. Following death, we must all stand before God, our Maker and our Judge, the God who made us. What does He require? The Judge that will examine our lives. By what standard will we be measured? These are vital questions that we need to consider. We cannot get it wrong at this point. We cannot pretend it's not going to happen. We must be absolutely sure. God, He is holy. He is absolutely perfect. In the book of Habakkuk, we read that He is of pure eyes and to behold evil. He requires from us absolute obedience and service. Not only is He holy, but He is good. He is merciful and He is gracious. He is unchanging and He is eternal. That is the God that will judge and examine us according to His perfect and good law. The problem is that we are sinners. Every one of us, Alistair included, broke God's law. Time and time again, we know that we sin against God. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. In another place, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. At that judgment, there will be two destinations, heaven or hell. And if we've broken God's commands, which we all have, then hell is what we deserve. We can't argue, we can't complain, we can't say that it's not fair. We will receive the just reward of our actions. What preparation can we make, therefore, for our soul's eternal good? In other words, how could we escape that awful judgment. How could it be averted? People would say, well, try your best. Do good works. Well, good works are good, but they won't save your soul. The Bible says that our righteousnesses or our good works, they are like filthy rags. Our good works cannot save us. What about turning over a new leaf, becoming more moral or something like that? If you read in the book of Daniel, we find there that we're weighed in the balances and found wanting. The only hope that we can have is by crying out to God for mercy. So there is that focus of death, the preparation for death, but thirdly, the victory over death. And this comes to the very essence of the Christian gospel. The good news that we preach here at Maryport Street Baptist Chapel, the good news that Alistair would have heard week by week on a Sunday morning, it is concerning Jesus Christ. He is that good news. You say, well, how is that good news? Well, our situation is hopeless. We are sinners. We are far from God. He is just. He will not make any mistake when sentence is passed. But the Lord Jesus, he has come to save sinners. He lived a perfect life. He kept the law of God without exception. He did everything that we could not do ourselves. And when he goes to Calvary to die on that cross, he is dying in the place of the people that will believe on his name. There he is as a substitute. He takes the place that we deserve. He dies in our place and he suffers for the sin that we have committed. He receives the judgment of God that we deserve. He dies, as the Bible says, the just for the unjust to bring us to God. He was buried in a tomb, but 3 days later he rises in power, demonstrating that that sentence has been satisfied. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Although we will die physically, yet our soul lives on in glory, awaiting the resurrection of the body. The question may be asked, how can I have this eternal life? What do I have to do? How much money is required? The answer is, it is the free gift of God. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your sin and turn to God. There's a very famous verse in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. It's worth hearing, it's worth remembering, and it's worth following. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour will have this everlasting life. Seek him. Lay hold upon him. Seek his mercy. He doesn't turn any away. What happens if we neglect this way of salvation? Then we will rightly perish. But for the person that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they know that when they die, they will go to heaven to be with their Lord. And they will be there, not because of what they have done, but because of the grace of God shown toward them. Death for the Christian has a different reality. It is the entrance of wonder and glorious delight. Coming back to ourselves, have we set our house in order? Not so much the practical financial affairs of life, but have we set in order the eternal destiny and security of our soul? Don't put it off. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't even know what the next moment holds for us. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In the book of Amos, we read these words, "Prepare to meet thy God." To the family, please be assured of our continued prayers for you as you mourn the loss of a father, a grandfather, a brother. May you know the comfort of the Saviour at this time. Amen. Let's pray.